And so I'll turn the recorder on, and but in Matthew 24, Jesus himself speaks some things that line up here with Matthew 6, or with Revelation 6. And Jaime, I may have you hand these out for me, brother. So yeah, let's all look at Matthew 24, and Jaime is going to give us a handout. And so I think everybody that's maybe studied Revelation, I think I've told the class this is my first time to teach the book of Revelation. But Matthew 24 is very closely connected to the book of Revelation and also the book of Daniel. So I looked at Pastor Brian's material this week of Revelation, and he took a whole week, and it looks like he dedicated to Daniel chapter 9 and Matthew 24 and Revelation 6. So I thought I would at least start out with Matthew 24, and I've seen this a couple different places, so look with me at Matthew 24, and we're going to read these first seven verses. Did I have enough of them?
Yeah, just the right amount.
Just the right amount?
Yep.
We have one more because I have one.
Okay. So we got one extra. All right. So we'll look at Matthew 24 before we look at our handouts this morning. But Matthew 24, verse 1, it says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And what I would say about that is in 70 A.D., the Titus, the emperor of Rome, actually destroyed the temple. And my understanding is that some of the soldiers did burn the temple, and they took every stone apart to get all the gold out of it. So this literally came to pass, what he's saying here. And so his disciples are, you know, this would be a big shock. It'd be like us saying that the White House is going to be ultimately destroyed completely. I mean, that would be big news. And so that's what he's saying here about the temple. And so verse 3 says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." And I wanted to stop right there and make another comment. I want you to see these things that he's talking about here from Matthew 24. He says that, you know, make sure you're not deceived. There's going to be a false Christ. That's what he says there in verse 5. There's going to be some that saying, I'm Christ, and they're going to deceive many. And verse 6 says, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars." So these are going to be the signs of his coming. War and rumors of wars. "See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." And then he says in verse 7, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines." I'm going to separate these. Is it ES? I don't know. And then he goes on to say pestilence. I'm sure I misspelled those, but anyway, I want you to see this in verse 7. Let me read it again. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. And then he says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. And so it says that these, this beginning of sorrows is very likely the start of the tribulation period. And so Jesus is describing what is going to happen there. So let's now jump over to Revelation chapter 6, and we'll begin our study here. I don't know if you remember, but I'll just do a quick recap. I know not everybody was here when we taught the first five chapters of Revelation. And it's been like 3 weeks since we've been together, but in chapters 2 and 3, we talked about the church age. The seven churches in Asia Minor. Second here. Jim, I don't know if you can be here or not, but do you remember Joseph Habib? From Egypt. Wagi and Joseph were in Egypt with us, but he's going to be here this Wednesday night, but he would know your disciple Job if you wanted to be there. He's one of the teachers down in South Sudan. So this Wednesday night I'm going to have dinner with Joseph and bring him to church and probably have him speak on Wednesday night since Brian's out of town. So anyway, he's the president of the Middle East Baptist Seminary. Joseph is. And so he actually lives in Cairo, Egypt. Actually, he lives in Giza where the pyramids are. He drives by the pyramids every day. Isn't that cool? So he'll be here Wednesday night if you're interested.
Is he going to speak for us?
Joseph is. Yeah. That's what I just got a text from Brian about. So if you guys remember, John lived about 100 years A.D. So the writer of the book of Revelation is the Apostle John. And he's the only one of the 12 that died of natural causes. But he was, history says that he was, tried, and they tried to martyr him for preaching the gospel, but he didn't die. So they exiled him to the Isle of Patmos. So he's on a little island just off the coast of Turkey. And they say it was like the salt mines. And so he ended up being there for 10 years. And then he was allowed to come back to Turkey. And most people think he was a member at the Church of Ephesus, where Timothy was the pastor. So it's really a cool... But while he's on the Isle of Patmos, he writes the book of Revelation during those 10 years that he was there. And it says that he was caught up in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And if you're a student of the Bible, you know that the Lord's Day is like when the Lord returned. It's about the tribulation, the second coming. And so he was told to write the things which were from the perspective of the Lord's Day. So the things that were are these seven churches. And then he was told to write the things that are. And we believe that is the day of the Lord, this tribulation period. And then the things which shall shortly be hereafter. And so that'll be you know, the second coming and the millennium and eternity. And so we're in the heart of Revelation now. These chapters from 6 up to verse 19, or chapter 19, are all about the tribulation period. And we believe that there's really four accounts of His second coming, just like there were four accounts of His first coming, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the first example of His second coming are these four, or these seven seals. So that's what's on the, in chapter 5, it talks about this book with seven seals. And we're going to see here in chapter 6, He's going to start opening these seals, and He's going to not just read, but show everybody what's on these seals, or what's in this book that He's unsealing. And so that's where we're at in Revelation chapter 6. And so when you think about the book of Revelation, you naturally think about what we call the apocalypse, but that just means revealing. So we're revealing Christ's second coming. And you think about, you know, epic events, right? Like the parting of the Red Sea, or the sea turned to blood, or the mark of the beast, or the Antichrist, and all these things that you think about when you think about the book of Revelation. And that's what we're starting to read here. So if I'm going to have Teresa, would you just read the first two verses of Revelation 6?
Okay. Chapter 6, verse 1.
All right, thank you. So in chapter 5, we learned that no one was worthy to open this book except the Lamb, and He was found worthy. And so here in verse 1, he opens one of the seals, and John begins hearing thunder. And do you guys remember what thunder was like in the Bible?
The Lord's voice.
Yeah, good job. Three people said the Lord's voice. And that's what Job 37 says, that God thundered from heaven, and so His voice is like thunder. And one of the four beasts is saying to John, you know, hey, come and see. This is what the seal looks like. And when John looked, he beheld this white horse. And up until probably 100 years ago or so, a lot of people thought that this was none other than Jesus Christ, because in chapter 19, Christ is riding a white horse. But then people began seeing, you know, a lot of differences, because, you know, Christ comes out of heaven, and this white horse and the rider don't come out of heaven. And He has a crown on His that was given to Him. Jesus Christ has many crowns. And this rider, He went forth to conquer and to conquer. And it says He had a bow, and whereas the Lord, out of His mouth cometh a sharp two-edged sword. So there's a lot of, there is some similarities, there are some differences. And so what I wanted you to see here is how this kind of lines up with the book of Matthew, because here in Revelation 6, we see a false Christ. That's what goes in your blank. So He is, there are some similarities, because the Antichrist, and I don't know if you ever thought about this, but anti, you know, means against. If you're, you know, anti something, you're against it. But another definition can mean instead of, you know, you can imitate. So,
He's going to go around proclaiming peace, peace, peace.
Yes.
War with everybody.
Now, that is what I wanted to point out there. He comes in peaceably because He has a bow with no arrows. So, you know, Daniel talks about Him coming in by flatteries. In fact, Kevin, can you look up that Daniel 11:20-21? So he, in fact, the color white usually means peace or purity. You know, a bride will wear a white wedding gown, and you know that is the symbol for peace, is a white dove. And so there is some symbolism here. Yeah, what does Daniel 11:21 say?
It says, "And in his estate shall stand up a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries."
He comes in peaceably and he obtains the kingdom by flatteries. So he's some type of orator. He's a great speaker, and he's very persuasive. And he comes in peaceably. So this horse. So what we're studying here is, I used to watch WWF, you know, and they had the four horsemen. I kind of forget who they were now, but it's reference to this passage here. These are the four horsemen of the apocalypse. That's what we're studying here today.
We used to call my son and some of his friends the four horsemen.
The four horsemen.
Everywhere they went, they reached out.
They're bringing destruction and.
Eastwood was
the bell rider. Yeah, I watched a clip of that this week.
Oh, yeah.
A lady is actually reading Revelation 6 about the pale rider, and she looks up and Clint Eastwood's coming.
Yeah.
So there's a whole movie about that.
Hey, TJ's got something.
Yeah, what do you got, TJ?
I've seen there's a lot of those old Sumerian carvings and stuff, and there's one of their gods that's only shown on a horse, and he's pulling a bow, but there's no arrow.
Ah,
just
really? There's no arrow.
Yeah.
So even in some of the hieroglyphics or wow.
I'm trying to look up which one it was. I couldn't find it right off the bat. It's one of their top gods.
I didn't look up any good images this week, but we'll take the last half of this chapter next week. So maybe I'll try to get that. We can show everybody. But that's a good comment, brother. So we know that in 2 Corinthians 11 that the devil portrays himself as an angel of light. Before he fell, his name was Lucifer. It means light bearer. And so he is portrayed as peaceably here on this white horse. And we believe this is none other than the Antichrist. And so what follows here, let's read that. Maybe Pam Anderson, would you read 3 and 4?
"And when he had opened the second seal, I heard a second beast say, 'Come and see.' And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and that there was given to him a great sword."
Yes. And so so now he's given power, and he actually takes peace. And most think that he is red because of the bloodshed. And so I think this is what I had you put in your second blank. This red horse represents war and bloodshed. And so...
Horse from Eden?
From Eden? Oh, like the cherubim that the flaming sword.
Yeah.
That's a good thought. I hadn't thought about that, Kevin. this sword does produce bloodshed. that was more the sword of the Lord from the cherubim protecting the tree of life. So this second beast has John come and look, come and see. And so what he sees is this horse that was red, and power was given him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. And so just like Jesus was saying, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. That is what's happening here. And they begin to kill one another. And he was given this great sword. And look over at chapter 13. Hold your place here and look at chapter 13, just a couple pages over. And Mary, would you want to read 13:7 for us?
And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations.
Yeah, so this really represents what we're talking about here. That power is given him to make war in 13:7, and that is what John sees that's coming down the line as the Lamb opens this second seal, and he's able to look at that.
I got a question there.
And yeah,
I've heard it said that like the rapture and stuff is supposed to happen before then. So who are these saints and all this that he's supposed to be waging war on 13?
Yeah, so
like
those are the 144,000.
Yeah, these would be the tribulation saints, and we will. A second here. I'm trying to.
Those saints will all be Jewish, right?
Yes.
And virgins.
I may not have this what I was looking for.
That'll be a great revival.
Yeah.
I've been studying this like all week, man.
Jim, I thought I had your darn it, I'm not seeing what I was looking for. I thought I had your
my timeline.
Yeah. There's one called a banner.
Oh yeah, that's what it is. Okay. I used to print it off.
Well, this is Brian's. This will work. my computer's so slow. Trying to make it a little bit smaller here. Well, anyway, so this is talking about the outline that these were the seven churches in the first chapter 2 and 3 of Revelation. And this is something that our pastor put together. And, hey, Brian. What's that? Okay. Did you get your documents I printed for you? Okay. We've got them in the office for you. So these are the seals that we're talking about in Revelation 6 that happen shortly after the rapture. So in chapter 4:1, heaven was opened. And here in chapter 6, these first four seals are opened. And you can see the Antichrist having a peace plan. And then we'll look at the trumpets, and there's more seals, and there's the seven vials. And so, anyway, this is kind of where we're going in the book of Revelation. And then in chapter 19, heaven opens up, and the millennial reign pursues after that, and eternity future. So anyway, I wish I could find yours, Jim. I like yours as well. I didn't have it, but I wanted to at least put that up there. I don't know if that, but you're talking about the tribulation saints. so verse 9 talks about that. So let me hit on that next time we get together, because we're just going to go through 8 today. And because there are, you know, peoples that haven't heard the gospel. It's in 2 Thessalonians where it says that that everyone that's heard the gospel and rejects it shall be damned. So when the tribulation starts and these 144,000 are going out, there are tribulation saints, and they're ones that reject the mark of the beast. They endure unto the end, and so the plan of salvation is definitely different. And so let's hit on that next time. Cause I was listening. In fact, look down at verse 9. If everybody's in Revelation 6, look at verse 9. It says, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held." And so that's where we're going to pick up at next time. So let's all kind of think on that this week, that there's people that have in the tribulation that are slain, and their souls are under the altar. So this is really a cool thing, because you know, in Hebrews, it says that Moses patterned the tabernacle off of the true tabernacle that's in heaven. So it's really cool that Moses' tabernacle is a pattern of the real true tabernacle that's in heaven. And so just like there's an altar of incense, there's an altar of sacrifice, those are all representative of the one that's in heaven. But let's park the thing about the saints, and let me dig a little more on it too, TJ. So I like it that people are studying. Carol reached out to me this week, and I said we're back in Revelation. She was excited. I'm like, well, I'm glad that, you know, people are thinking about Revelation and wanting to study it and get back into it. So this is, it's encouraging to me that that you want to be here, and that, you know, you're even studying it during the week. So that's cool. So let's, in fact, TJ, you want to read verses 5 and 6 for us?
Give me a second.
Yeah, we're back in...
Well, I'm in the NIV.
Oh, okay.
NIV.
All right. But you got... There you go.
6 and 7, 4 and 5, you said?
5 and 6.
And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he sat, and he that sat up on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny. And see, thou hurt not the oil in the wine."
Yeah. Now, when you think about this this third, I knocked over your pens, Chuck. Sorry, bro. Yeah, we'll get him later. So this third seal has this third beast tell John to come and see, and he beholds a black horse, and this is going to represent famine. Just like we read in Matthew 24. And you can partly see that just from the text. He's got this pair of balances. They're weighing out food, like they're rationing food, right? That is what happens in time of famine. And I want you to see this. Let's all look at Lamentations together, because the color black is actually connected with famine, and we'll see it here in Lamentations. So right after Jeremiah, look at the book of Lamentations. Sometimes you see people that are in mourning kind of wearing black, and many times, you know, they're too upset to eat. But here in Lamentations chapter 4, I think I got one wrong. Maybe I have it right there.
Okay.
And I think I'll just give you the punchline. It's in Lamentations 5. So actually look at Lamentations 5. And Julie, do you have it?
Yes.
Read 5:10 for us.
Our skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine.
So yeah, their skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine. So you see black connected with famine right there. And in chapter 4 through 8, it mentions that. So this is right after Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Jerusalem and Solomon's temple. Jeremiah is looking at that, and you know, what does lament mean? What does it mean to lament something?
Mourn over it, to be sad about it, to,
yeah,
you know, grieving.
Yeah, so Jeremiah lived through the conquest of Nebuchadnezzar, and he looks at Jerusalem and he's lamenting, and he's seeing how, you know, the people that are left are just starving to death, and it's horrible. So you can kind of see that after the guy with the white horse comes in, that he brings in peace, but then he starts war, and the result of war is famine, isn't it? And so they're having to ration food. And at the end of that, I'm a little bit unsure myself, but at the end of verse 6, back in Revelation 6, at the end of verse 6, it says, "See thou hurt not the oil and the wine." And so I'm not totally sure, but that may be referenced to more of that there'll be some that are still wealthy or profiting from it. Oil is, and the wine is more for the wealthy. And but now, one thing that is sure from the Word is that the penny. Is a day's wages. And it says that in one of Christ's parables, that they were, all the workers were given a penny for their work in the vineyard. And so you can kind of see here that someone is working all day for however much food they can have, and so this is a result of war. And I'm trying to see, you know, how that's laid out on here. I know yours is looks a little different than that, doesn't it, Jim?
Yeah, my chapter, that line is chapter right now.
Yeah. So I'll try to get that this next week and have that looks a little different. Any other comments on this third horse, this black horse? There's going to be a rationing of food. There'll be a scarcity of food. A penny is the token of a daily portion. And the mention of olive oil and wine. And so when I'm not sure what something means, I'll just tell you I'm not sure what all it means. So hopefully we can...
Could those be the people in charge of rationing out everybody?
Maybe.
That's probably...
Some of the wealth. Yeah. Yeah, there's some people profit from wars, we know, and so that could be.
I'd say a lot of people will drink themselves. They would rather have wine or beer over food.
Uh-huh. Yep. So, yeah, there'd be some drunkenness, and people that are ready to perish are given strong drink in Proverbs. And so, all right, well, let's look at the fourth seal then, verse 7 and 8. Somebody wants to read those?
I will.
All right, yeah, Tracy, go for it.
And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth seal say, "Thus and speak." And I looked, and behold, a fell horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth.
Now this, this last, this fourth horse here, is connected with the pestilence. If you want to put that in your blank. And I don't know if you've ever read this stat, but do you know what has killed more people than war? Is rats. That caused more sickness and death than wars have. It's unbelievable stats. And so you kind of see that there's a little bit of progression to this. This come in peaceably, then cause war, then cause, so there's the death, and then there's famine, and now there's this pestilence comes in. And so this is one thing, and if you've been here very long, that we don't put a lot of emphasis on the Greek or Hebrew, but I want you to see. So this is what we just read here about this pale horse is the fourth horse of the four horsemen. But I'm going to turn on the Greek numbers here, and I want you to see what this Greek number, the Greek word for pale is. So, and I looked and behold a pale horse. So if I click on that number, it says that it's only in the Bible one time the word pale, but three times it's the word green. And so we know there's not a green horse, but you know when somebody's real sickly, they kind of look green, don't they? Or gangrene. And so I wanted you to see this. So we've talked about these four horses: the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, and now the pale horse. And I had Jim put together a little PowerPoint for me. This is about 13 of the nations that surround Israel. Let's see if I can get this to go. This is Afghanistan. Does anybody see white, red, black, or green?
Yep.
Nope. This is Egypt. It's got some gold in there. So this is their neighbor to the south. This is Iran. We know they are the sworn enemies of Israel. But all these neighbors have all these colors in their flag. This is Iraq. This is their flag. This is Jordan, just across the Jordan River to the east. This is their flag. It's got all four colors. This is Kuwait, the little, it's really an ally of the U.S. Down by, I think it's by the Persian Gulf, is Kuwait. They've got all four colors. This is Lebanon, right to the north of Israel. They don't have the black, but they've got the others. This is Amman or Oman? Amman, there you go. This is Saudi Arabia, so this is the big country there. They got the sword on there. I don't know what the Arabic numbers are. This is Syria, just to the north of them, right beside Lebanon. So they got all four colors. This is Turkey. Bible talks about them as being Asia Minor. And this is Yemen. Anyway, and this is the United Arab Emirates. And so that's 13 of the flags that are Israel's neighbor. That's pretty wild that kind of the same color as these horses that we just talked about, isn't it? I mean, like every one of them is. So I don't know how prophetical that is, but it's interesting at the least. And so we covered these four horses. And then, so my teaching point here is the Prince of Peace from Isaiah 9:6. He comes with a sword, but he actually brings peace. Our country even has a motto that's peace through strength. And so the Lord establishes peace, but he brings, and the prince of the power of the air, he comes in peaceably but causes war. So it's kind of the opposite. And then Roman numeral 2 at the bottom of your front page is where we found the verses about from Matthew 24 that line up with Revelation 6. And then on the back of your page, I gave you the Israel's neighbors flags. And TJ, give that to Brian. That was my last handout, Brian, if you want that. What's that? Oh, the word pale meant green. I had you put green in your blank.
On the Spanish translation is more like pale is translated like yellowish or yellow.
Oh, really?
It's like the pale horse riding the dead is a symbol of sickness and destruction. The color is described like a yellowish.
Huh. Okay. So even maybe even yellowish.
On Google, it says the Greek word for pale, as in pale complexion, can be translated to orphos, or pale in the sense of wrestling, or also means struggle or conflict.
Well, that's not wrong either. So. Well, very good. I just wanted to show you this from the Greek, at least in our King James Bibles, is translated green in other places. So, and Jaime, that says it there too, doesn't it? I think I got to close out of this one before I. There it is. So there it says yellowish, yeah. So it's the same. Okay. All right, so then on the back side of your page, we don't need to spend much time on this. I think I may have given you this before. This is just a personal study that I did a while back about some similarities as well as some differences about the Christ and the Antichrist. On the left-hand column is the references where Jesus is called these things, and on the far right is where Satan or the Antichrist, the reference are. But I guess we got just a few minutes. Let me just go down through the middle two columns there, these differences or similarities. Christ is called the true vine. And there's a reference in the Old Testament where there's a vine of Sodom. And Christ is called Christ. And the Antichrist is called the Antichrist. Jesus came not to destroy, but the thief does come to destroy. Christ is called light. The devil's called darkness. Christ performed wonders and signs. And the Antichrist is also going to perform signs and lying wonders. Christ desires God's will to be done. The devil has his own will. Christ had a 42-month ministry, and so will the Antichrist. Christ was actually called a deceiver, and the Antichrist is a deceiver. Christ is likened to a serpent that's lifted up. And the devil is, of course, likened to a serpent many times. Christ is worship. The devil desires worship. And I kind of shaded the ones that are referenced in the book of Revelation. So if you see a little bit of shading on your handout, those are all verses from the book of Revelation. And of course we know Christ is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And the devil comes as a roaring lion. Christ is called a branch. The devil's called an abominable branch. Christ is the good shepherd. The devil's called the idol shepherd. Christ is King of Kings. And there's a reference where there's a different King of Kings. Christ comes as a thief in the night. He takes his own, and the devil's referred to as a thief. Christ is called a rock, and the Antichrist is called a rock. Christ is called a prince. The devil's called a prince of the power of the air. Christ rides a white horse. The Antichrist rides a white horse. Christ has many crowns. The Antichrist has a crown given to him. Christ is called the truth. The devil's called a liar. Christ is called the Son of God. The devil's called, Judas was called the son of perdition. Christ is the firstborn of the dead. And the Antichrist is firstborn of death. That's in the book of Job. Christ is our advocate. The devil's called our accuser. Christ is meek and lowly. The devil's a king over the children of pride. Christ is called our friend. The devil's called our adversary. Christ is called our... He sends the comforter. And the devil's called the oppressor. Christ is the bread of life. The Antichrist has bread or dainty meats. God is a trinity. Satan has a trinity. We'll talk about more about that when we get there. Christ comes from heaven. Lucifer is cast into hell. Christ is actually called God. The devil's called the god of this world. Christ has apostles. The devil has false apostles. Jesus has laborers. The devil has deceitful workers. Christ is called an angel, and the devil's called an angel. And this last one is, they both have ministers. So if you want to write the word ministers in your blanks, we are to be Christ's ambassadors. We're to be His ministers. And so I had you put that in both of your last blanks. And so anyway, hopefully that is edifying to you today. And we're kind of back on track here to meet every week and go through the book of Revelation. So we'll finish chapter 6 next week. Is there any other thoughts before we close? What are you thinking, TJ?
I'm just probably way out there on this one, but I thought it's weird that someone who preaches green and is super pale owns most all of the farmland. He's all about eugenics, GMO. It says death of Hades. His last name is Gates. He's known as.
Ah. Interesting. He owns a lot of farmland.
He owns the most farmland out of any individual.
Really?
Yeah.
Bill Gates?
He's buying it all up.
Huh. Very interesting. Things that make you go, huh?
Yeah, actually, they just found, I don't know if you saw this, they found this Chinese person that came in, I think a lady, and she had in her bag these seeds that somehow, if they get dispersed, it will kill most of the grain and cropland in the area, and it's dispersed by the air and stuff, so it's called agroterrorism. It's the newest thing.
Yeah. Wow.
Putting
hairs
in there.
Wow. Well, thanks for being here. Let's all have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. But yeah, thank you for being here, and thanks, TJ, for that. That's very interesting.